Home. I feel like I'm home every time I come here, and just enjoy so much the time to fellowship together. The Lord's doing some mighty things and around the world. And I know this is WM Day. What you need?
I need just a moment of your time.
Oh, okay.
This is WM Day, and this was overlooked, but I put the baskets here, just a little love offering, whatever you want to do as she's speaking. Just bring it. This is for WM Women's Ministry, and it goes to a great, important cause. Amen.
Oh, thank you, sister. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. Praise God. So I just want to say that we are in transition. This is WM Day and a wonderful day. And I just thank God for women around this world. There are many women praying for you women today. And every country I go to, they always say to me, whether I'm in the church or doing women's ministry or children's ministry, whatever I'm doing, they always say, please tell our brothers and sisters in the States, we love them and we're praying for them. So I want to give you that message, and I know you receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Because you do so much for women and men and the ministries around the world and for children, and that we just thank you and praise the Lord for it so much. This is mission. This is Women's Ministry Day, and you guys are so involved in missions. And maybe I can come back and do some ministry and missions. But today, I just want to encourage the women and the men that are here today. We are the body of Christ. And isn't it wonderful that when the Lord looks down and looks at us, he doesn't look at what we wear and what sex we are. He looks at our heart and he looks in our spirit. And so today we're here to hear the word of the Lord for us as a body. Amen. We're here to hear what he's saying to us. These are days that God is still speaking. He's still talking to his people. He is not dead somewhere, and he's not asleep somewhere, and he's not on vacation somewhere. He's sitting on a throne and he's ruling today. And even though no matter what's going on in our lives, he's still in control. No matter what's going on in the government, he's still in control. No matter what's going on overseas, he's still sitting on the throne today. And if nothing else, this Easter season, we must remember that Jesus was not killed. He gave his life. He was not forcefully taken. He surrendered his life. And he surrendered it so we could live. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He died so we could live today. And today now we need to learn how to die so he can live in us today. Amen. And so this is going to be a tremendous day because I believe the Lord's given me a word for us. A word for the body of Christ today. And before I do that, I want to try to sing. I promised these ladies I would try to sing. And I'm just so grateful for the privilege to be used of the Lord. I don't sing for entertainment. I just want you to know that right off the bat. But I sing because it's in my DNA. I was raised in a singing family and raised in a little country church. And all we need to do is open our mouth and let her fly. We didn't sing by note. We sang in the field. We sang in the yard. We sang when we were working. We sang when we were together. When my family gets together, even yesterday, one of my mom's sisters, my aunt, turned 90 years old on Tuesday. So we celebrated her birthday yesterday. That's the reason I wasn't at the retreat. And so our family got together and just celebrated her 90th birthday. And we just spent some time singing together as a family. So singing is in my DNA, and I don't sing professionally. I just open my mouth and let her fly kind of thing. And I think that's the way y'all sing around here too. I just felt real good and joined right in. So I want you to be at ease today knowing that the presence of God is here. I'm not here as a special speaker. I'm here as one of you. And I'm here today because we love one another. Amen. And there's that old hymn that's on my last CD that I've just made, and it's out on the foyer if you want to get it before you leave today. All the proceeds go to help get media equipment for our national leaders. But it's an old hymn. It's just got a different twist to it. But it's something that you and I need to be reminded of, that we need to trust in the Lord. Okay? Put your hands together and let's just sing this old song together. How about that? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Can I get a witness in this house this morning? Hallelujah. Well, I'm so glad that I've learned to trust him. Precious Jesus, Savior and friend. And I know that he is with me and will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved you o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Go up one. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust you, how I prove you o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Now 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Oh, for grace, that sweet amazing grace. Oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, yeah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. Praise his holy name. I can tell that most of you here is in my generation. And I tell you, the older I get, the more I treasure what I grew up on. I love the praise and worship today. I love singing the scriptures. And not all of the old hymns we grew up on were biblical, but some of them were. And that's one that is biblical. And that is one that I don't know. The older I get, the more I just lean toward what I used to despise and used to just make fun of. Now all of a sudden it seems to be real treasure in my life. And I don't know if any of you grew up in the church. Those of you who grew up in the church, in my day, it was during the hateful holiness time. And you kind of like veered away from the church. But I tell you, when I found out who Jesus really was, and I found out who God really was in my life, and that he wasn't just sitting in up there on a throne with a big eraser in his hand, fixing to erase my name out of the book of life when I messed up. But when I realized he was a God who loved me and he gave his only son that I would like live victoriously, not when I get to heaven, but right here, right now. And that when I mess up, his grace is sufficient to help me. Hallelujah. And so today I'm grateful that I know that God, and I believe I'm in a church that knows that same God today. Hallelujah. You know, the cross has a wonderful message. That cross is a message of grace and a message of mercy today. It's not a message of judgment. It's a message of love. And the whole gospel message throughout the whole Bible is about how much God wants to be a part of our life. And he wants us in his. Amen. And he wants us a part of who he is. And there's only one way to get there. I travel this world and go in a lot of the Eastern cultures. And in those Eastern cultures, they have works. Everything they do to try to please their God is through works and is through trying endeavors. And we have religions right here in America. In fact, we may be sitting here and you're a religious person, but I want you to know God wants to set us free from religion because it isn't about works. And that's not what I'm preaching on today, but it's just somehow somebody needed to hear that today. It's based on His grace that is all sufficient. He is a God who loves you and will do everything in His power to make sure you don't go to heaven and your children don't go to heaven and your grandchildren, go to hell and your grandchildren don't go to hell. He is doing everything. And that cross represents everything that has ever been done in order for that to happen. Hallelujah. And there's nothing else that needs to be done. For Jesus said, it's finished. Amen. And all the works and all the things we try to do, even in the church today, our church attendance does not get us into heaven. It's Jesus. It's the only way. And so we still preach that around the world. So you pray for your missionaries. Pray for our pastors and our national workers and those who are on the cutting edge in these countries that don't believe that Jesus is the only way. We still have to preach that, you know. We still have to live that here in America, that Jesus is the only way to heaven. And the cross gets us there, amen. The foot of the cross gets us all there. Praise the Lord. Well, I just want to share a word with you today that it's, even though it's Ladies' Day and Women's Day, I'm not going to preach about a woman. I'm just going to relieve you of that. And while we think that every time we do women's ministry, we got to preach about a woman. Well, today we want to preach about the Lord. Amen. And what He's done for us. And, but I want to just move around a little bit in Isaiah, move around a little bit in John. But start with me in Isaiah chapter 55. It's where I really want to go today as a basis of what we're going to do. And then we're going to go talk about the week, the night of His arrest, and when Jesus was arrested. And I want to read it. For those of you who are King James Version people, I'll read it there first. And then I want to read it out of the Message, because to me, it just really speaks to me more when I read it out of the Message Bible. But I do want to respect those of you who do honor the King James Version. It is a good version. But Paul did not use that version. I just want to remind you of that. Isaiah 55, starting with verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, and it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I've sent it. Now let me read it to you in today's language. If King James was living, this is probably the way he would write it. I don't think the way you think, for the way you work isn't the way I work. That's God's decree. For as the sky soars high above earth, so the way I work surpasses the way you work. And the way I think is beyond the way you think. Just like the rain and the snow descends from the skies and don't go back until they've watered the earth, doing their work, making things grow and blossom, producing seed for farmers and food for the hungry, so will the words that come out of my mouth not come back empty-handed. They'll do the work that I sent them to do, and they'll complete the assignment that I gave them. Did you know that the Lord has a word over you? That before you were even born, God already planned your life, and He planned your purpose, and He spoke His word over you and over me before we were even born. And that no matter what the enemy might do, and no matter what the enemy's strategy may throw out at you, and no matter what his purposes is for your life, did you know that God's word will not return unto him void? You speak the word of God over your children and grandchildren because you believe it will not become void and it won't come back to you empty-handed. So why can't we believe that about our own lives? About every situation. God has spoken his word even over every situation in our life. Everything that you and I will ever face until the last breath in our life is gone out of our lungs. God's got a word that he has sent forth for us to be prosperous and victorious and overcomers and greater, a greater conqueror than ever before, even greater than Jesus. Isn't that awesome? That God's word will not return. So if we understand that, that our ways are higher than his ways, our thoughts are higher than his thoughts. So that means that we don't always understand everything that God is going to do. We don't always have an explanation of what God is doing. We don't always have a reason why God's doing what he's doing. But one thing we can do is we can trust him. We can trust him. 'Tis so sweet because of his word over us. You know, he's all wise. He's all wise. He's everywhere present and he knows all things. Can you think of a time when you have become so impatient while you were waiting on God? Talking to humans today, right? I'm talking to human beings today. We haven't yet been glorified. We still live in this sin-cursed world. We're still influenced by what we think when we allow it. But has there been times in your life that you've been impatient while you've been waiting on God? Waiting to find out what that revelation is. Waiting to find out that reasoning. Waiting to find out that explanation. Waiting to find out why. And then we get tired of waiting and we take matters in our own hands. Some of you are grinning today because you are with me. I'm grinning today too because I've been guilty of it. Abraham is not the only one that got ahead of God. Oh me. God has spoken victory over our life. Sometimes we just need to be reminded. And I know you're in a faith church. This is the friendliest and faith-filled church I've ever been in. I love coming here because it hits you in the door when you walk in the door. It just slaps you right in the face. You can feel faith. It's real strong in this place. And you see the evidence of it. I see it all over you. The evidence of his faith. But there is an event that took place during this week of Jesus' arrest. Somebody got ahead of God. In John chapter 18, you can follow me. I'm not going to read that there, but I'm going to kind of tell you in today's language about what happened that night when Jesus got done praying. And Judas came to kiss Jesus on the cheek to betray him, to identify that he was Jesus. The Bible says, and this is so funny to me when I read it last week and preparing for what God wanted us to do today. And it just reminded me of how powerful God is and how powerful Jesus was because he operated under the influence and power of God, his Father, in the flesh. So when Judas went to kiss him and when Judas was coming, there was this huge amount of multitude of people coming with him. The Bible says in Matthew says that there was a band that came. I think John says it too. That a band of people came. Well, when you do a study on that, a band could have been anywhere from 300 to 600 people. And the Bible says they came with weapons in their hands to take him. To take this man, this one man, going to take 600 people to take over this one man. They'd seen him for 3 years perform miracles. They'd seen the power of God in him. And they were so fearful of coming to get him. I believe they were so fearful of him that they thought they had to come in a multitude of people to overtake him. And the Bible says that at the time when they came and Judas kissed his cheek, and then he addressed them because he knew the time had come. The time that he had prayed all night, asking God if there was any other way. But your will be done. Have you prayed that before? In dealing with issues with family, with friends, in your own personal life. Lord, if there's any other way, show me another way. I've been there. You've been there. But that time had come, Jesus said. And when he looked and he saw that multitude, he saw the high priest's servant come, who was probably overseeing the activity of that night. And he said, so, you know, I know you've come, so who have you come for? Jesus was wanting to say that because he wanted to respond to that. And they said, we've come after Jesus. And he said, then he who you speak, I am. Now, in the Greek, that is the same translation of the Hebrew where God told Moses that I am. And the Bible says that that very moment when he said, I am he you have come for, everybody fell to the ground. The force of him saying, I am he, which is the word of God. I am he who you've come for. You see, the I am lives in you and me. That I am is full of power of heaven. And all of heaven cannot come against, all of hell cannot come against heaven. And it cannot come against us no matter what you're facing today. So what is it in our lives that we seem to think is bigger than God and more forceful? What power of the enemy that we think is residing in the air in this world that we live in that is more forceful than Jesus? More forceful than God in heaven? There is none. What more proof do we need as children of God that God's going to take care of his people? He's going to take care of us. What more proof do we need to understand what the scripture says that they did not take his life? He willingly gave it. And the Bible said at that time that when all those soldiers were laying on the ground, Peter just decided to take things in his own hands and grab one of their swords. And he went to cut off the head of the servant, probably. And he missed his head, and because of the force of the sword, it cut off the servant's ear. How many times have we got ahead of God? How many times have we have taken matters in our own hands and we have said, oh, we're going to help Jesus out here. We're going to help the Lord out. We're going to help him out. You may not have ever said that, but in our actions, we've said that. That we're just going to get ahead and we're going to help God out here because he's just taking his two level at a time and he's just too slow and we're just going to help him out here. And then what happens? We make a mess. I really wanted to say a bloody mess, but in England, that's a curse word. So I didn't want to say that in case there was a British person here today. But Peter made a mess of God's work that night. And Jesus had already explained to the disciples that this was going to have to happen. And this is why he wanted them praying with him all during the night so that they wouldn't do what Peter done. But they went to sleep. How many of us go to sleep spiritually, I'm saying? We go to sleep spiritually when we're missing what God is really trying to do and that God really is at work. How many of you have seen those signs that say, keep calm and shop? Keep calm. You know, all those signs that they have out now. Well, today, I want you to have a new sign in your mind. Keep calm and let God do his work. Keep calm in the midst of your storm. Keep calm when you think that God is not there. Keep calm because he is at work. Isaiah 55 says that his word will not return void. And God has spoken over us. He's spoken over my life. He's spoken over your life. He's spoken over your life. He's spoken over your children. And when they were born, the Bible says that we were born what? To serve the Lord. And it doesn't take all the hell to stop you because they cannot stop the will of God in your life. Cannot stop the purpose of God over you. And the Bible says, in fact, Luke recorded this. He said that Jesus stopped everything. Did you know that the Lord can just stop time? He can stop everything around the busyness. And the Bible says that Jesus just stopped time and he just paused everything, knowing this was his time. Yet he stopped and he helped Peter out. He helped Peter out. The Bible says that the Lord just stopped, took the ear, put it back on the servants, his enemy. He stopped and he showed grace and mercy. Grace and mercy. In the midst of his enemies. And he healed the ear. Put it back on them right then and there. If I'd have been one of them soldiers, I said, I'm out of this activity. I've seen enough. I'm not going to be a part of carrying this man to be arrested and to be crucified. No, I'm not going to be a part of this. I would have run as a soldier, I think. That's all I would have needed to see. But why is it that it still is not enough for us sometimes? We still want to get ahead of God. But aren't you so glad for the hope that's in the hope of glory? That will come and rescue us. He's here to rescue us. The cross is all about rescuing us today. The cross is about helping our mess and cleaning up our mess. And helping us when we took matters in our own hand. You see, that day, Jesus did heal that servant for two reasons. Number one, because he was the healer. It's in his DNA. That's who he was. And secondly, to help Peter. Because this was an important man, but he had attacked it. Peter could have been arrested and took to prison and his whole life ruined. But God intervened. God can intervene in our behalf today, Rose. And I bear witness today that it's happened to many of you today, that God has intervened in our behalf. And he's rescued us. He's helped us. For Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The scripture tells us that he is a very present help in a time of need. And that night of Jesus' arrest, he stopped everything to clean up a mess. In the midst of him performing the redemptive plan of God, it started way before the cross. And he brought healing to that enemy. He brought healing to that enemy. I heard a message several Easters ago from Charles Stanley, and I found these notes the other day, and I want to share them with you. Some of the reasons that we hinder God's work, that we get in the way, and all of us are guilty of them, because I saw myself in them when I reread those notes this week, and I thought, yep, this goes right along with what I wanted to keep calm and let God do his work. Keep calm and let God do his work. But Charles Stanley gave 3 points, and then I just kind of like added some stuff that he shared that I want to share with you today. One of the reasons that we get in the way of God working things out for us and getting ahead of God in our children, it must be hard to parent. That must be the hardest task that God's ever given a couple. Might be even harder than marriage. It's when you're watching your children walk out a mess and you want to be there to help them. But God's got a story for their life. And sometimes we get in the way of God's work and get ahead of God because we don't know the full story. We don't know the full story. Peter didn't understand that Christ's death was essential to the Lord's plan of salvation for us. God has ways and works that sometimes seem unexplainable and unreasonable. That's why Paul wrote to the Corinthians, said he just uses the foolish things. That in the minds of the human eyes, in the minds of the unbelievers, it's foolish. It's foolish to give your last dollar when the Lord says, I want you to give that last dollar an offering. And that's all you got to your name. That's foolish to people in the world, unbelievers. God uses the foolish things, the things that are the most unreasonable and unexplainable. Ron Carpenter had on his church in Greenville, South Carolina, that it's just, you can't explain it. You just have to experience it. That's the way God is. You can't explain it. When you're facing, and really it even gets harder when it involves pain and loss and sorrow. You can't explain that. But we don't know the whole story. We don't know it all yet. Boy, I wished he had given us that. It saved us from a lot of heartache and other people, wouldn't it? If we could see the whole story to start off with. I kind of remember in 1997 when the Lord gave me this vision for Operation Teaching Tools. Had I known the next 20 years what it would have been involved, I probably would have never stepped out. If I knew then what I know now, I don't know that I'd have had that kind of faith, Rose. Sister Clara, I don't know that I'd have had that kind of faith. But the Lord doesn't show us all the whole thing at one time, does he? Aren't you glad of that? I kind of really am glad of that. But all he's asking us to do is to react on the revelation that we know. No, we don't know the whole Bible, but what you do know, we can act on that. That's where we start. And when you're looking at the messes that you've made and the mess that maybe you didn't make and you wish your children's decisions that they made, they put them in a mess. Maybe at work. Maybe at school. Regardless of the mess, life is full of messes. But aren't you glad that the hope of glory can come in and even in the midst of our mess and clean it up and help us? And take the time because he loves you and he loves you and he loves me. And even when we've made the mess, because God knew the whole story about Peter. He knew what was going to happen on the day of Pentecost. He knew what was going to happen in the days to come. God knows what's going to happen in the days to come. That's why we can trust in the Lord today. We can trust him today because he's already took care of tomorrow. Hallelujah. I'm learning more and more that the presence of God means right now. Presence of God means right now. And all we have is right now. Only generation you and I have is right now. This is it. God just stood still and stopped time because he knew the whole story of Peter's life. God's ways and work can be trusted. God's still writing the story. So quit trying to take the pen out of his hand. I heard that on the radio this week. I thought, man, that's perfect. I'm going to write that down. God's still writing your story. That simply means that it's complete in him, but he's revealing it to you. And each chapter that's written gives you a better understanding of who you are. I can remember when I was in the fifth grade. In fact, I've always worked on a farm, always lived on a farm growing up. Boy, the first thing I did when I got 16 years old and got my license is I went to town and got me a job. Went to town, got me a job. But I can remember way back before I got old enough to work in tobacco. And be at the tobacco barn, and we used to play church around the tobacco barn under the shelter while they were working. Our parents were working, and me and my cousins, we'd get those fins and take the little grassy things off and fix us a little altar where we'd kneel and we'd pray for one another and talk in tongues in the whole 10 yards, what we saw at church. But you know, back then, as I look back on my life, the Lord had a heart, give me a heart for the underdog, for people who nobody else wanted to be around. No matter what color skin they were. And I grew up in a time when many of you did too, in the eastern part of North Carolina, that, you know, we were racist people. Even Christians were racist. But I never was. I saw it all around me. But the Lord was preparing me. He was writing my story. So, because you can't be in missions and be critical. And be a racist. You can't, I don't believe you can be in the church and really do the work of the Lord and be a racist. You can't do it. That's religion. But I can remember way back where, when I would see things that I just didn't understand. In the fifth grade is when our school started consolidating. We had three black children in our classroom. And in their schools, when they wanted to address the teacher, they stood beside their desk to be addressed. Well, we just raised our hand in our school. And this one little kid stood beside his desk because he wanted to be addressed by the teacher. And everybody laughed at him. And my heart just broke for him. Did you know that God starts writing the story of your children and your grandchildren when they are very, very small? I mean, like toddlers. When I was on staff at Gospel Tabernacle for all those many, many years over Christian education and discipleship ministry, I would put the teachers and I would put nursery workers in the nursery that were so full of God's love because I'd just have them speak words of God and love and sing little choruses to them while they were holding those little babies. Because did you know that the spirit of man doesn't have an age on it? That the spirit of your children is the same spirit that lives in you, the same age. It's not a young spirit. When a child has accepted Jesus as their Savior, their spirit can be trained and can be matured just like ours as an adult. So don't look at a child as their age with their spirit. Because I'm telling you, I've seen God do things in children and 12-year-olds. I was in the Philippines just a few years ago in a service. And one of the little girls had been brought into the sanctuary. And they were having revival in children's church. And the power of God had fell in that children's church. And they were seeking God and praying and seeking the face of the Lord. Some of them had fell out in the spirit. And one of the 12-year-olds went to her teacher and said, I have a word for pastor in the church. And she brought her into the church while the preacher was preaching. And he discerned it. And he stopped his preaching and he called her up. And the little girl gave a word from God. And it was what the pastor had been praying for, a word from God. I'm telling you, when the Spirit of God is alive in a man, a woman, boy, or girl, that means God is speaking to his people. And that we should train our children to hear that voice and not be religious in any way, but be spiritual. Amen? God is writing our story. And he's revealing that story to us. And sometimes we get in the way and we get ahead of God because we don't know the whole story. There's another reason why sometimes we delay what God is trying to do in us is that we want to fix everything. And we as women, we're really bad at that. We just want to fix stuff. We give our husbands a list of what we need done and we just want him to fix it. And all the men said, but we in our nature, we just want to fix things. We see, especially when we have the love of the Lord in our heart and we're so moved by God and we know him and we know he can fix things. So we want to help him. We want to help God and we want to just fix people. I think that was the biggest thing when I was growing up. It's the reason that we were so legalistic. It's because we just had such a heart and devotion that we wanted people to be happy, that we put them into bondage. And sometimes we do that even now in another way we do it. We put people into bondage because we won't allow the Lord to fix them. We want to fix it ourselves. We want to fix people ourselves. And we get ahead of God. And we become Peter, and we actually become imitators of the enemy instead of imitators of Jesus. And we want to fix it. So we allow ourselves to get ahead of what God is doing. I tell you, patience really is a virtue. It is a hard one to learn. It's difficult. But it's a treasure. Patience is a treasure. And I think men sometimes have that virtue greater than women do. They can be patient. A lot more patient than we are sometimes. And they say, honey, it's just going to work out. Just give it time. Just give it time, honey. Give it time. And you want to say, but I want to fix it. We got to give it time. We got to give God the time he needs. We just got to stay calm. Keep calm. And let God do his work. Husband, look at your wife and tell her that. Keep calm. Let God do his work. We have to say that to ourselves sometimes, don't we? We have to just stop in the middle of the mess and say, we got to stay calm. For that peace that surpasseth all man's understanding will keep our hearts and mind. It'll keep us. It'll keep us. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, says the Lord. My ways are not your ways. No, he says, and your ways are not my ways. He did say, my thoughts are not your thoughts. But he also said, your ways are not my ways, he said. So whatever the word of the Lord has been spoken over us, it shall be complete. And it will accomplish what he is sending it forth. But we have to wait on God. Amen. And thirdly, we interfere because we want to keep control. You know, the other name for control is selfish. Selfishness. What did Jesus say? That if you want to follow me, we got to deny yourself. That means we got to move out of the way. That's why salvation can only be brought by God. But sanctification is what you and I have to do. We have to separate ourselves unto him. He doesn't make us do that. He will give us a love and a desire for him. Then we have to move out of the way so Christ can live in us. Peter made a mess that night, but Jesus cleaned it up. We've made a mess of our life. Jesus has cleaned us up. And Jesus wants to take the mess we've got now. The mess of this life. Listen, this world is in a terrible way. I never thought I would ever see the day that what I always and what the Bible says is right is now wrong. And what I've always been told and what I've read in the Word that's wrong, it's now right. I never thought that I'd live in a day that the morals would be like they are. That integrity is nowhere to be found. And character and righteousness and justice is taken in their people's own hands and they're doing what they want to do in their own eyes and justify themselves. I never thought I'd see that day. I really thought Jesus would come before now. But he's still writing a story for somebody. He's still writing that redemptive story for somebody who's yet not given over to Jesus. And you and I can be like Peter. I believe that we should take a stand against what is not right. But we cannot do that in the ways of the world either. We've got to be careful that we're not influenced to take matters in our own hands when God is writing a story. And God is doing a work, but we don't see it. I can't imagine how the tears that are falling. That's why we're having so much rain right now, because the Lord's heart is so broken over this abortion mess. And his heart is broken. I told somebody not too long ago, I said, I have never seen so much rain. I said, it's because the Lord's heart is broken. It's broken. And yes, I want to take matters in my own hands. Yes, I want to go and blow up all these clinics. Yes, I want to do stuff. But we've got to imitate Jesus for righteousness to rule. And there was a few scriptures that I learned when I was a child and living at home that I want to share with you as well. One is out of Romans chapter 12. That whole chapter is on how we're to react dealing with unruliness and dealing with our enemy and dealing with those who despitefully want to do things to harm us. I've never seen a day. I've seen it overseas. I've seen it in these restricted countries where we carry the gospel. And I see the persecution, but I'm seeing it greater in spiritual ways here in America. Though they may not take you and put a rope around your neck and run you 10 miles with that rope, other end of that rope tied to a bumper and dragging you down because you believe in Jesus, but they're doing it in other ways. To try to tear you down so that you'll give in. That's the purpose and that is the strategy of the enemy, is that we just grow tired of fighting, so we just give in. But there's a way to fight. He says, be kind. Bless those who persecute you. Be humble and not haughty. Give food and drink to your enemies. We really want to shut them up. Be nice. Be kind. I went into McDonald's one Sunday morning on my way somewhere to preach somewhere. And I stopped at McDonald's and took enough time and met a friend and had breakfast with her. I went up there to the counter to place my order. And there was these two gay guys in front of me. And I kind of like, I wasn't trying to push them out of the way, but they had placed their order and they were waiting for their frappe or something, all that fancy coffee. My dear, good friend, Joe Matthews, you kind of know them. He calls it crappe. Anyway, they were waiting for their coffee and they were still standing in the line and the girl had asked me for my order. So I just took his tray and just kind of moved it over because they had trays back then. I moved the tray over. This man got furious with me. And he just talked not to me, but at me, to his friend. So let's get out of here. This woman's just trying to take over or something like that. Just really ugly. And the human side of me wanted to just fight back, you know, and just try to correct that attitude right then. But no, I just kept my cool. I went and sat down. When I got done, they were still there in the restaurant. So when I got done, I just walked over to the table and I said, I hope you guys have a blessed day. And want you to know that the Lord loves you. I'm praying for you. And I walked off. And I could look at them and they could like, their whole face just turned and they were like, what in the world was that all about? They didn't know how to respond. Did you know that we can be kind to our enemies? We can bake a cake when our neighbor is just giving us, you know what, trying to tear out our fence or tear a bush down or to cut a tree down that's been there forever. Be nice. We can be nice. We got to remember what the Lord says, that vengeance is His, not ours. He's the only pure judge. He's the only one that can judge righteously. We can't. God's still writing your story. He's still writing our story. First Peter says, for this is the reason we've been called, is that we be the example of Jesus. Pick up that ear and put it back on your enemy's head and bless them. Bless our enemies. We're to take a stand, but we can't take a stand the way the world takes a stand, because what happens is people get hurt. Look what happened when Peter took matters in his own hands. Somebody got hurt and he heard his testimony. And when we take the ways of the world and not the ways of God, somebody's going to get hurt. And then our testimony's going to get hurt. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. For in this day where we see no mercy, we see no grace, we see no love, Jesus has left us the commandment to go ye in all the world and preach the gospel. Do you know what that gospel is? The gospel of love. The gospel of redemption. The gospel of joy. The gospel of peace. The gospel of righteousness. For He wants the kingdom of heaven to come to the earth. And He does that through you and me. Let us pray. We want to thank you today, Lord, that in spite of us, you love us. And in spite of who we are and what we've done and where we've been and our attitudes and our reactions, you're still willing by your grace. When we say, help, Lord, we give it back to you that you are still writing our story too. Thank you that today we can be calm. In the midst of turmoil and trouble all around us, we thank you that we can keep calm and let you do your work. And in the midst of our trouble today, facing enemies, there's only one enemy, and that's the devil. People are not our enemy, Lord. And those who are causing such havoc in our world and in our nation, they're not our enemies, but they are being controlled by the enemy. And you've given us authority over that. You've given us the authority to love. You've given us the authority to take charge of a situation by allowing you to work. So Lord, come take charge in us today. You're pleased, Lord, not only with our faith, but you're pleased in our reactions. You're pleased with our heart of love to be like you, to imitate you and not imitate the enemy. So, Lord, in these treacherous days we live, help us to stand firm and be at peace because we know you rule and reign. And today, Lord, we pray that there be somebody in this house who's took matters in their own hands. There may be somebody here who's took their whole life in their own hands and never realized there's a Savior who's come to help them. They're still living under that burden of sin, and living under that burden of sorrow that you've come to lift. And today, Lord, if you're visiting here and you're here today, the Lord is here to help you, to lift your load. Got a wonderful pastor here who loves you. He's like Jesus. He loves a sinner. Because he used to be one. We're here today because we love you. Because we used to be one. But he's here today. This Easter season could be your time. This could be your season. That is finished. And you've asked Jesus into your life. This altar's open. Maybe you're here and you have a dealing with a mess you've made, or maybe you haven't made, and you need help. You need Jesus to help you. We're here to stand with you. A lot of times we want to be in control because we just want to fix things, but we're here to help you fix, let the Lord fix it for you. Our priority here, church, is to lead people to the Lord who can fix it. Amen. Father, today do your work. Pastor's going to come. This altar's open. We're here to pray with you. We're here. We love you. We thank God. He can stand everything still and help. Help our mess. Thank you for helping our mess.
I want you to listen to the words of the song again. Some of you, you came here, you were broken,
thank you, Jesus,
fragmented. Others, you have tremendous problems, and the Lord doesn't want you to have to handle those all by yourself. And the word today is, don't get ahead of God. Just know that He's writing your story, that He's there with you, He cares for you. And I want us to come to this altar. I want you to bring your burdens. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Let's just come on down. Say, Lord, I'm coming to you. And I'm coming, Lord, to receive what you've prepared for me. Some of you have tremendous struggles going on. Broken, fragmented, dying, crying, sighing people. If you'll make your way to Jesus, if you'll just trust Him, He's already working. He said, before the day was, I am he. I will work, and none can stop me, saith the Lord God of hosts. Hallelujah. That God loves you and God is working for you. Make your way to the altar. Bring your burdens to the Lord. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. God gave us a word for 2018 restoration. Some of you have not seen it yet. You've not gotten all of it, but we're watching God work and we're watching God do things. And in the word this year is expectation. Expect your miracle. Expect what God has begun. Expect, cry out to him. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Sing it, Pastor Ricky.
Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him. How I prove.
Come on in real close so everybody can get in. Please move on down to the to your left there. And others move down so everyone can get into this altar. It wants to get in.
Oh, for grace to trust him more.
I'm bringing it.